from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
And, oh my goodness, we're on time, everybody. Can you believe this? This is what the third week where we are on time. We're amazing. We should pat ourselves on the back for being so amazing.
And it's so hard. I just, you know.
I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
It's hell. No, okay. We're going to be fine. Let's talk our way through it. Can I mention something that just pissed me off today?
What's that?
Or been pissing me off for a little while. It's our neighbors are tarring their roof, and I'm at my wit's end, man. I cannot stand not only how much noise they make, not only the fucking smell that they that leaves, or the parking spots that they hog, or just all the yelling.
The general unpleasantness of the people doing the work. Lower class scum.
These scumbags. These lowly proletariats are working with a product that I just detest. I fucking hate tar in all its forms, man. I hate it. I hate it. I was researching a little bit of the history of tar, or resin, or pitch, or whatever you want to call it, because it's got different names. See, not all pitch, the stuff that's a black gooey shit, not all of it is tar. I mean, made from oil. Some of it can be made from roots and plants and shit like that. That is just the essence of things. That's what that is. That is chemical goo.
Well, that's the one educational thing people are going to learn from this program. Excellent. That's nice. Too bad it was something completely useless and uninteresting.
Here's the fucking cool thing about pitch that leads me to my first little, maybe what you'll call boring, but I'll call sciencey part, which is to say, remember I was talking about that Laurent Trottier symposium, and I put up a link on the website as promised. I'm doing that now, putting up links.
Oh, so they put up the lectures?
They did. It took them, I guess, a little while, but they put it up. So it's 2 hours, but it's fucking cool. You guys should check it out. Michael Shermer, David Gorski, who's has a website, Science Based Medicine, which is pretty cool. It's like a debunking thing. One of the people that works for it, for the website as well, does, I think, Skeptics of the Universe or Guide to the Universe. So they're pretty involved in the whole skeptical scene. And then there's Ben Goldacre, who's the British Michael Shermer, I guess is the best way to put it. And he's got a book that came out in Canada and U.S. called Bad Science. And I recommend it. I'll fucking put a link on the site. Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Ooh.
For the book, because it's pretty cool. And plus, I want to get an interview with him. So if people could buy the book through the site, I would look like good. I was like, hey, I sold some books of yours. Can you come on my show and maybe sell some more? Because he's a fucking cool dude. And one of the things that he said at the talk was that anybody who has questions like, oh, there's a study that did this, or do you have any evidence to suggest this, or what has science said about this? And he's like, if you have questions about stuff, why don't you do science? Fucking just do it. It can be done. It's you don't have to have a little fucking science hat or lab coat to do science. You just need to have, like, pretty well worked out way you're going to do it. And going back to the whole pitch resin thing, tar shit that we were talking about, well, they did an experiment in 1903, all right, called the pitch drop experiment. What they did was they put pitch in a funnel, in a glass thing with, like, it's not very elaborate, but it's just vacuum tube, and they're just watching how long it takes for it to drip down the funnel. Okay, and since 1930 when they did this, sorry, 1930, not 1903, 1930, it's dropped eight drops have fallen off. That's the viscosity of this. This is a liquid. This is so it has the viscosity approximately 230 billion times the viscosity of water. That's what pitch has.
Wow!
Science! But you see that? That science experiment is pretty fucking simple. It's been going on, and it is going on as we're talking. That's fucking science. It's a goddamn pitch in a jar with another fucking beaker at the bottom. Ta-da, science.
It sounds like so much fun. Let's do that right now.
You know what?
Get your kids.
Let me tell you something.
Take a bow back and say, I got a real corker of a weekend for you. Actually, you better clear your schedule for a little bit.
It's geek fun, I'll admit it. Okay? It's kind of fun like math magicians are fun.
My big problem with the whole pitch thing is the fact that they're doing it, they're putting this on the roof, and it is obviously not the optimal thing to be.
No, we have way better materials, stuff that's just safer, better for the environment. And not only that, it's like the problem with pitch is because it's so dark, it attracts, it absorbs sunlight, it gets fucking hot. In a lot of places, just as part of cooling down the temperature of cities, they paint roofs white just to reflect more of the light off, because they're like, these cities are getting fucking hot as shit. So there are plenty of good alternatives to it, but it's cheap, and we've been using it for so fucking long, man. So long. Like, back in building ship days, that's how long. When it was called pitch, you know, the stuff they used to sealant between the wood planks? That's fucking tar, man.
It seems like the kind of thing that only continues to be done because we used to do it back in the day, and those are usually the things that we shouldn't be doing anymore.
So much so. You know what I call it? I must have mentioned it on one of the other shows. I have a name for this, and it's called technological traditions. And I say that those are serious problems. Like, we just the same way that you could have a tradition that doesn't make any sense. Like, let's say, oh, I don't know, eating a fucking cracker and saying that it's the body of Christ. Ridiculous.
Is a cracker technically the same thing as a wafer? Because isn't the wafer cracker?
What, are you getting technical here?
Well, I'm just saying, if it's supposed to transmutate into Jesus, I'm pretty sure it's important whether or not it's a cracker or a wafer. You know, those classifications should matter.
No, they shouldn't matter.
Kind of like how it doesn't matter if it's grape juice or wine.
Well,
kids get the grape juice, Jesus light.
High on sugar. That's their drug. You know, alcohol, sugar. No, it. Trust me when I say the vocabulary. If it doesn't fucking matter to this, what matters is it's a dumb tradition and people continue to do it. You ever see that? There's this video that was floating around the internet for a while. It was this these shamans in India that were stepping on kids as a way of getting rid of, like, their ailments. It was just fucking hard to watch, man. They were just crushing those kids. And it's just witch doctor hoodoo bullshit.
How old are the kids?
There was one that was as young as a one-year-old that he was just stepping on. His full weight, rolling it around.
But was this one of those, like stick old shamanic stick men, like in Indiana Jones? Taking our children to Pancot Palace.
You wish he was that
palace.
Fucking...
Starved?
No, he was...
Big bellied?
He was like one of those skinny guys with a belly, because he's been letting himself go.
Oh, man.
His shaman duties have not been taken as seriously.
I don't trust fat shaman. Doesn't seem right.
He should be wafer thin.
Indeed.
Anyways, so traditions, by their very nature, they're not things we think about. They're just things that we do, and that's a huge fucking problem. And it can apply in the way that we, in technology. Let me give you a common example, all right? And this might sound just fucking crazy, because it probably is. But think about a car, all right? Let's pretend everything that you knew about physics, about, every piece of research that we've ever done about transportation. Would you design a car the same way that it's designed now? Being able to sort of like have a new starting point, saying like, fuck the car, fuck whatever design that we did before, let's just reinvent the wheel. Why the hell not? How would we design the wheel if we reinvented it? Rather than we had to just sort of like go and say, hey, a car kind of looks like a caravan or a wagon with an engine in it. It's a fucking wagon with an engine. Is that really the best design for transportation? Is that the smartest way to go about it? I don't think it is,
You got to keep it in the same arrangement so you can measure it by horses. Duh.
It's true. The amount of horsepower is important indeed. But my general point is that we don't tend to think a lot about these because we just figure that's how it's done, right? Well, we must have figured the car out. The transportation thing's been figured out. We don't need to think about that. And meanwhile, you're like, but fuck, it still carries with it these weird traditions that themselves were passed on, even technologically, that maybe aren't the best starting points. Maybe it's time to just say, scrap it, there might be another better way, because we know a lot more than we did when we started making fucking wagons. Our understanding, our technical know-how has increased.
I'm just going to wait for Google to fix it.
Oh, man, not this again.
They're going to fix it.
This is your religion now. I need to have a fucking confrontation. Sit down with you, and then we can talk about this Google craziness that's going on, this mania.
Well, it's not everything. It's just with cars. Have you read about their driverless cars?
I did read about their driverless cars.
Google will fix it.
They're freaking me out. But the point is, they're not redesigning the car. They're just making one drive by itself because humans should not be trusted.
Yeah, but if we leave it to Google, everything will be like Tron in another 50 years. You just wait and see.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Until I see the new Tron, I don't know. But it looks sexy, and I like that.
It's true, it does look pretty sexy. And there's like a hot chick who's like in total Tron form. The thing, though, that freaked me out when we went to go see Jackass 3D, we were watching the preview for Tron. It's weird having Jeff Bridges in a computer-animated sense, like the younger version of himself. It's fucking weird, man. It's like, is that what we're using CG for now? Cool, I guess.
Yeah. We went and saw Jackass 3D today, so if this ends up being a bit of a lower-brow show, then maybe it's that influence.
But, it could very well be. You are definitely highly suggestible, right?
I'm going to throw something at you.
He didn't say no. He didn't say no. Okay, today on the show, like you can guess, it's going to be a little bit all over the place, but there's two subjects we're going to talk about. The first one is kind of a general question about asking whether or not it's better to take someone's belief away from them, even if it serves them a purpose. Like, are there some individuals that we should never have a nice sit down and take away their faith, if you know what I'm talking about? And the second one is we're going to actually, well, maybe we should begin with this. We're going to be talking about the movie Saved. It's not a new movie, but Ryan just saw it, and it's relevant. It's still relevant if you haven't seen this movie.
But actually, I think I saw it again. Like,
you think so?
I'm not sure, because remember there was a couple years ago, there was that winter of just smoking copious amounts of marijuana, and I don't remember anything that I watched. It's like I still watch movies that I know I watched during that period that I don't remember at all.
I suppose that's the advantage of the thing. You get to watch the movie twice, but also feel retarded in the process. So it's got its ups and downs. What we're going to be doing with the movie is it's not so much review, but there are certain aspects of the movie that we're going to talk about. So if you've seen it, or if you haven't seen it, my recommendation is just watch it, and you know what? Come back to the podcast later. You're going to enjoy that a lot more, because there's some parts of the movie we're just going to mention as a general theme. It's like a kickoff.
Well, let's explain it a little bit. Just grease you guys up a little bit and get you interested in the movie.
Oh, let's grease them. Let's fucking grease these guys.
Because I know what you're thinking. Oh, God, atheist movie. Well, it's not even really an atheist
movie. Oh, not at all, dude. It's got, like, total religious undertones.
No, I mean, it's religious overtones throughout the whole thing. But it has you watch the movie, and it obviously has an anti-religion message.
Well, it's religious parody is what you would call it. But it's religious parody that still clings to religion. Like, at the end of the day, there's that positive, you know, God works in mysterious ways thing that kind of leaves you with.
Yeah, anyways, it's all no, about...
Nobody declares themselves as atheists as well in the movie.
Yeah, no, it's true. But the general plot of it is, you got a Christian high school, and one of the girls at the Christian high school has a boyfriend who turns out to be gay. Trying to keep him from being gay, she gets pregnant, and then all of the wacky mishaps that happen there because, Christians don't believe in gay people, they don't believe in premarital sex, so it was very wacky and interesting and fun.
And the funny thing about it, too, is that it's accurate in a lot of scary ways. Like, for instance, I was reading an article about how gay men who tend to be religious and who want to prove usually that they're not gay the reason that people shun it and make you feel ashamed if you are.
Oh, well, they'll send you away to gay rehab.
There you go. They're more likely to engage in unprotected premarital sex. So this kind of thing is just real, dude. It just that kind of thing just happens. For all the wrong reasons. I don't know if there are right ones, but there are many wrong ones. Here's what's interesting about the movie, first of all, that I found. Two things, I guess the one thing. Susan Sarandon's daughter is in it, and we could not stop commenting on the fact that her rack is fantastic. Like, yep. Just unbelievable. Like, I don't care what you're doing right now, you need to stop and just fucking find some stills of that shit. Like, do yourself this favor.
Nah, you need it in all its full glory. The second half of the film, she's just running
so
everywhere.
Much running.
Running all over the place.
I think the director knew what was going on.
It's strange. It was a comedy movie, but you would think it was a marathon for all the bouncing going on on there. And then there's Mandy Moore. She's also in it.
You know who produced it? It was Michael Stipe from R.E.M. In fact, there's a couple of shots where there's like a poster. Or I think there's one thing where it's like Michael Stipe has this pro, I don't know, anti-drug message. Or I forget what it was particularly, but yeah, he just put himself in a little frame there just for fun because he produced it.
That's really weird.
It is kind of weird. You know what else is really weird? The movie had to go through about 200 rewrites. 200. One version had the character... Played by Mandy Moore, who basically at some point goes crazy and drives the van and knocks over the Jesus.
Don't ruin the end. Jeez.
Shit, I just ruined it for you. In one of the versions, she was supposed to shoot up the school. Which makes me wonder just how satirical it had originally been written, because what we saw was after 200 rewrites.
Yeah, and at the end of it got very like... This is my big bummer about the movie. Now on the other side of it, we're going to say Christian evangelicals are going to say that it's obviously a parody of them and they don't act like this. But the thing that bugged me about it on my side is at the end of the movie, everybody gets a happy ending. The pregnant chick has her kid, and all of a sudden the mother does a 180 from, you know, thinking that she's ruining her life and everything's going to go to hell to being perfectly okay with it and everything's going to be great. The gay boyfriend... whose parents sent him away to gay rehab. I mean, that there is not a fucking happy story. And at the end of the movie, I'm not going to ruin what, but he just comes back and everything's perfectly fine. I'm like, where is he living? His parents are obviously not going to let him back
into
their house.
New boyfriend? Yeah, that's going to fucking happen. What the hell? And then the pastor guy... who asks all those gays to leave in one scene, and then at the end is just sort of like struggling, I can't, and this is finally my belief, but you know, there's like the pleasant music, and he's got flowers there, so obviously he's still wrestling with it, but you know he's going to get over it, and you're like, no, he's not.
Because that's the interesting thing about the movie, is because you watch it and you enjoy it, because it's all these conflicts that arise because of stupid religion. But then at the end, it all resolves because people just get over it. And the reality of the situation, the way this story ends in real life, is that nobody ever gets over it, and everybody lives on miserably.
Yeah, and you basically lose all your loved ones, contact with them. I mean, do you have any idea how many fucking people who listen to the show probably have loved ones that they can never fucking speak to again for precisely that reason? I feel bad for them. I wish I could give them kind of like a psychic hug. But there is no such thing as psychic hugs, is there?
Just have them knock over the speaker and ride it while you go,
ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like that's really the non-offensive version of that Howard Stern stunt. I'm going to hug you with my vibration. That's what I'm going to send you.
But yeah, I definitely recommend the movie. Go check it out. I mean, as an atheist, you're going to crack the hell up through most of it.
It was enjoyable, like we said before. I mean, the cast was pretty cool. You know who was supposed to play Mandy Moore's role? Anne Hathaway was actually supposed to have the role.
Anne Hathaway.
She was the chick from...
Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah.
She's pretty hot. She's
a ghost.
She's a ghost.
You mean she's pale? Is that
she's
what you're
so pale like a ghost.
I would ruin her.
No, too pretty. Too ghost-like.
Too ghost-like for you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw that movie where she's like, I don't know, playing some gangbanger wannabe or something like that.
Yep.
It's played Dirtbag pretty good, so I kind of like that, yeah. A little dirtbaggy. All right, let's move on.
Let's get into our philosophical question for the show.
Let us do that, yeah. I'm sure we'll score really good
after
points.
Rating everybody in the movie's racks.
Hey, everybody, are you a philosophy student? Then turn this shit off right now. I don't want to confuse your brain because I'm going to uneducate you right now. Okay, so my question in general, this is the subject of our topic today on our very small panel. Very small. We'll increase our panel size as time goes on, but for now it's a two-person panel. All right, the question is basically, how do you feel about converting or, say, removing a person's faith when you're unsure about whether or not doing so might make their lives worse.
Worse or harder?
Worse or harder, yeah. What do you think about that?
I'm of the opinion I don't try and change people's personal beliefs about God or whatever. I'll mock them. Sure.
Will you mock them in their face?
You know what? Generally, no. I mean, I'm not going to... I would be two-faced about it. If someone wants to know about something, I'll talk to them about it. But I don't... My whole thing, approach to atheism, isn't about trying to get people to not believe. It's just to get them out of my face when their beliefs infringe on reality.
Well, particularly when it starts affecting you, right? Where you're saying, you can't have any of those delicious stem cells, Ryan, because those are babies.
Or those awesome abortions. God, they're such assholes. I want them so much. All the time, right up until, like, the last trimester.
Yep. You know what we should do? We should really put together the funds. Get that abortion van we've been talking about, huh? Roadside abortions.
I like
to do it in our van. Send money now. Send money now. I've been having the conversation on and off with different people because I was thinking about, remember those Jehovah Witnesses that had come for the third time, and I had a long discussion with them. Because every time the Jehovah Witnesses come to my house, they try to bring someone who's...
knowledgeable enough in the Bible to be able to get around your arguments.
Well, they tried knowledgeable of the Bible, and then they decided they wanted to go for another tactic with the last one, which is basically saying a guy who was knowledgeable in other things, because I didn't just talk about the Bible, right? I talked about other things. So they were like, we need somebody who's smarter. An expert on the Bible is not necessarily the way to get to this guy. I realized, though, retelling the story... The subtle ways that I had, emotionally manipulated the person that I was talking to. Just because I had been able to uncover certain details about them that once you empathize with them, you kind of crack that trust nut. You're in, right? You're saying, I have perceived this about you. And because this individual is superstitious, they may not have necessarily the kind of defenses against this type of manipulation. So, yes, I did feel a little bit bad. Even though I had the good intention when I was trying to do it, was to essentially shake him out of his delusion. But still, you know, you're messing here with power sometimes that you should probably not mess with.
Yeah, see, that's the big difference between you and me, because you definitely try to push people. Like, if anybody's on the fence, you try and push them off the fence. If they're on one side, you try and throw them over onto the other.
It's like, okay, tonight I'm going to change your mind.
It's like sumo wrestling with Jake.
And I tussle really hard.
You're the Yokozuna.
Yeah, I tussle hard. I mean, I think that it doesn't... It kind of has probably helped the fact that twice a week I'm talking about this shit. It's being deep into it. I mean, for most people who... For them, religion is just a marginal part of their lives, and they haven't really given it some thought. It can almost probably feel a little bit overwhelming, you know, that you're in for a friendly sparring match, and then all of a sudden it turned into a real-ass tussle. And you didn't expect that now was going to be the time where you're going to change your mind about something and see the world differently.
Did you not know that the person you're talking to is a shut-in podcaster?
He's to be feared. He's the worst kind of human. He's isolated and he spends all his day thinking, no, he's your worst enemy. You must fear him. Okay, so I was thinking about this sort of subtle emotional manipulation, and I guess I wanted to put that question to myself, is like, are there some individuals who benefit more from religion than they would gain from if they didn't have it? And I think the problem that you, when we ask that question is, it's a matter of time, right? I mean, you take that belief away from them, and it's going to really suck and hurt at first. I mean, remember we were watching Saved, and I had said, I wonder what it's like to suddenly have your security blanket of your beliefs removed, like the delusional bubble that an anthropomorphized deity is controlling everything and has a plan for you. That's a fucking serious-ass security blanket.
Yeah, because for evangelicals, Jesus is hands-on.
Oh, yeah, he's there all the time,
he's
man.
He's giving you hugs, phantom hugs from behind, just like on the internet, the pictures. You'll see him.
All the evangelicals fucking hate those pictures. So the more you spread them, the more it drives them crazy. I assure you, it's like a meme. Just do it. It's fucking awesome. So yeah, it's like a really personal thing. It's like a security blanket. And imagine it snatching it away, and yeah, the day where you probably need to take away the security blanket of your child because it's getting to that point where you're like, you are going to be teased mercilessly if you go to school with that thing, and I must rip it out of your arms for your own fucking good. You're like, yeah, they're going to hurt. They're going to hurt. But like anything else, they're not going to fucking remember in a couple months. Old news, man. School's the new thing. Meeting other kids, what the fuck? New developments, new things to explore. I think that's what you give them as an opportunity now. It's like, we took away your stupid idea, and now you get to enjoy the crazy shit that is real.
So let me get this straight. Up until like grade three, at grade three you tell them Santa's fake, and then once they hit high school, it's like Jesus ain't real either. That how you want to make it roll?
I didn't know you were going to take it like to that extreme. I would just say that we all have to move to some degree into adulthood. And that goes the same with like our lives and even our thinking. All right, where the belief in religion is nothing more than a childish delusion. You ever hear people that are always wishing, oh, I wish I could go back to the innocence of childhood? I always thought to myself, the people that say that are the most vulnerable to religion because they're living in that childhood. They don't want to grow up and admit there is no fucking God or plan. The world that we live in is what we make of it. We need to be adult about that. We need to take the fucking reins here because it's our responsibility. It's our lives. No invisible sky daddy is going to fucking help you. But here's the crazy awesome part. Other human beings can. Real people. That when you're fucking stuck on a roof because there's water everywhere, they're piloting your helicopters. They're fucking coming down with harnesses and strapping you in and flying you away to safety and giving you water and food. That's some real shit that happens.
They're digging you an emergency hole to get you out of that mine.
They're digging an emergency hole, exactly. Thank you. Human fucking beings. I mean, that's where the real interest and real research is. And I remember when I was talking to that Jehovah's Witness, the very thoughtful man, the smarter guy that they had brought to me, the one thing when I asked him, what is the reason why you believe? And his answer was, oh, because I saw so much good in the world, so much, you know, kindness out of people, I had to believe that something greater was responsible for that. And, you know, there's that part where you're saying, you are religious because your heart is so big. You couldn't even comprehend that all of this goodness and kindness could actually just manifest itself, and just because that feeling was so overwhelming to you, it's a beautiful thing in a way. It's a beautiful sentiment. It's amazing that you think that way. You need to revise your thinking to maintain the beauty, but remove the superstitious element. I mean, it doesn't. Removing God doesn't mean that it doesn't make fucking things like love and friendship less amazing. I think, in a way, it makes it more amazing. You're like, oh, there's no God creature that's controlling all this and making you love someone or care about someone or have a great day. It's just fucking, it just happens? Are you serious?
Yeah, but, you know, just to put it from a different perspective here, God makes you, or you have a child and it's God's most precious gift to you and you love it to death and I don't know, add Jesus in there somewhere. I don't know how, whatever. Or you look at it from the scientific point of view where that baby makes your brain produce that sweet, sweet crack that you love. That makes you feel great.
So good.
Let's see which one sounds better.
Hmm.
Their marketing of the whole thing is very much more Hallmark. And
okay,
it's much
fine.
More enjoyable.
I would say in the superficial sense, they have the glossy paper, while ours is it's almost newspapery. And you know, you're handing over a present. There's this seemingly boring rapper, and you're like, what the fuck, man?
Come on, it's God says you're made in his image, or we say you're basically a biological pile of shit.
But here's the other way too, because I think that it's less beautiful when you really don't understand enough about how it works. Because then you're saying like, oh, you're saying that I'm just an ape and my brain is just a matter of electrical impulses produced by chemicals? That's so unexciting. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Look, like, really analyze what the hell you just said. Why does all of this work the way that it does? How does it work? You know, how the hell does all of this work? Fundamental laws of the universe that are just there. They're just there. They act on one another. They provide the near infinite amount of complexity that you see around you. That's amazing. That is fucking crazy cool. And I think that's, again, you got to dig a little deeper. The wrapping is made out of boring-ass paper, but it's the present inside that's awesome. Fucking religion is like a beautiful package, and it's empty inside. It has nothing but, it's a fucking lie box. It was a brick inside, and you have to put money in it all the time. And it rapes your fucking kids. This is a great fucking present. No, no, I have a fucking awesome gift. It's just that the wrapping is just biodegradable. And therefore,
it's
boring.
Like one of those Sun Chips bags.
Yeah, the super loud ones. But it's good for nature, so you just have to put up with it, bitch. Oh no, it's loud. It's not poisoning the environment. You're a douche species, human. You tell Sun Chip to fuck off because of their loud bag. And I even will admit it was loud.
Yeah, let's just say this: they could have made a quieter.
Maybe they couldn't.
Bag.
Maybe that was fucking the limited technology right then and there. And we say no, you know, because the noise annoys
look,
me.
Look, this is where you need a Darth Vader type person to just take the engineers that made that bag and go like, "You have displeased me for the last time," and just choke them to death.
Yeah, because scientists always work well under fear. That's a fucking
just
great thing.
Just wipe out the entire team and start anew. No one will even know that there was another batch of scientists. They'll just figure that they were sent off to another I don't know, campus or site or...
What do you think it takes to make scientists? Seriously.
Well, what do I think it takes to make
We can store them away in these dank caverns. It takes a lot of dedication to be a good scientist.
I don't think it takes, you know, we're not talking splitting the atom here.
We're talking making biodegradable bags.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a lot harder than you think, man.
It could be.
Fucking
most
chemistry,
most
dude.
Things are. Most yeah. things are.
Surprisingly hard. Try to go out and do it. Yeah. Why don't you make a biodegradable bag, you fuckface? Huh? Go do it if it's so easy. You suck. I'm just saying, in general, humanity, you know.
You probably can't even start a fire. Think about that for a second.
I think I can. I think
gut
you
check
can.
Time.
I think I can. I understand the principles of how to make a fire.
Oh, you're so confident. I can't wait for the apocalypse so I can laugh at your face while we're laughing your face while we're freezing to death.
You're gonna laugh in my face. You know what? Here's the joke. I'm gonna kill you and eat you. That's what. And I'm gonna use your fat body to survive. That's what I'm gonna do.
I'd expect nothing less from an atheist.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, back to the whether or not... Let's go back to the general question again, because we have gloriously gotten off track. About whether or not there are instances where removing that belief might be bad. Yeah, sure. I tried to sell it really like it's hot shit, saying you can take somebody's belief away and in the end maybe they'll be happier. But let's face the truth here. That's probably not what's going to fucking happen. They're probably just, you know, many of them could just end up being miserable because learning that shit can tend to be hard. As fascinating and awesome as it is, not everybody gets it, you know. Sometimes, you know, you come into it too old and not enough interest and you're just like, I'm setting my ways and fuck it. So in that circumstances, maybe there are some people where you're just saying, if I remove this belief, maybe I'm causing you a lot more harm because you can't handle the truth. But I would say this. I think those cases are the exception. You know, the one where you have a fucking uncle who has a drinking problem and who relies on this weird AA shit to keep him going. And really, if he didn't have that, what the hell would he have? Fine. He's got that. You don't take it away from him. You got to be the bigger person here. It's going to be impossibly hard for some. Fine. But is that the majority of people? Really?
Yeah, but does it really have to come down to one or the other? Can't we just have an agreement where you can believe your stupid shit? Because this is the problem. On an individual basis, often religion doesn't cause that much of a stink. It's when you get a whole bunch of religious people together and they decide that what they believe should be what the laws are. And that's really where things start to get all wacky. And I don't know why it always happens. What is it up with us monkeys, that we just love telling each other what to do? And what we can't do.
I think it's just because we like a certain degree of synchronicity. We like people working towards the same end and the same goals. We like that whole sense of togetherness. But the problem with that togetherness is that you have to share a lot of beliefs, and not everybody's going to always believe the same damn things. And forcing beliefs on individuals, it's not cool. It's not the kind of thing that I want to do. I don't want to force my beliefs on somebody else. But if a person wants to convert me, I think it's fair game. I'm like, that's my rule. If you sit down, you come into my house, then I'm going to use every fucking trick that I can to get you off this religion bandwagon. Because you're doing the exact same thing. I know for a fact that they keep studious notes about me, okay, regarding every single one of their visits. They have a strategy. Now, I don't know if they've abandoned that strategy. I doubt it. From every person that I've talked to that has been a former Jehovah's Witnesses, they have not given up. But they could come in with as many theological canons as they want. It's fucking invisible shit. It has no power over a person who just asks them something simple. I'm like, hey, why don't you prove your assumptions rather than just keep stating them loudly? You know? It's all we really want. Remember that video with that old woman drawing that circle? Put it up on the site. She's like trying to convince her atheist nephew that she draws the circle and says, this is the sum of human knowledge, and you're a small circle inside of that. So since there's this other large sphere of knowledge that you don't know, God could exist within that sphere of knowledge. He could be unknown to you. I'm saying, that's just an appeal to ignorance. What the hell?
On that same note, the people who wrote the Bible, they probably, you know, existed in a very tiny little circle inside
like
that gigantic circle as well. So they're supposed to have all the answers?
Yeah, they're supposed to, from divination, from literally revelation.
Everybody knew everything worth knowing about 3,000 years ago.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Yeehaw. And that's really a slogan that exists out there. That's on bumper cars across America. Fucking scary times, scary times. So, I guess
I appreciate the way you wrapped it up.
Yeah.
Basically, the idea of if they're going to try and convert you, you're going to try and convert
them.
I think
I think that's pretty much, I think that's a good rule of thumb. And you know what? You can take it to whatever degree you want. So if a person just sits down and says, I want to explain to you my beliefs, and I'm going to explain to you mine as well, although, you know, maybe that's not as deep a conversation, or I might not attack the particular person's point of view because we haven't decided to disagree. We're just at the point where, hey, I'm going to explain to you what I believe. You explain to me what we believe, what you believe. At the point where now all of those beliefs are said is kind of like that portion where you make a decision. Am I going to have this debate now because we have incompatible beliefs? Or, which usually happens most of the time, you're saying, I don't really want to have that conversation because it will probably fuck things up between us. Because you obviously understand what happens once in a while when incompatible beliefs are the way that they are. You know, the very conversation we were having before, the ending in Saved, that is a Hollywood ending.
Yeah, it was practically Oprah. Everybody gets a happy ending.
Everybody gets a new car. Woo! No, everybody gets isolation. And you know what? I think that's our ending. We're going to end the show with that. There are no happy endings in these kinds of horrible dilemmas. So remember, you do play with fire. So just play with fire with people that want to burn you. I say fucking fair game. Fair game, people. Okay, well, you know what? We're going to catch everybody Thursday for the bonus show. I think that's the last bonus show of October. After that, it goes into lockdown. So enjoy the bonus podcast as best you can. Also, what we'll be introducing for members starting in November will be a higher, like a feed with both the free and the bonus show, so you'll only have to worry about one feed from now on, and it'll also be higher quality with the audio for you guys as well. And once in a while, we'll probably include some snippets like after the show with outtakes and stuff like that.
Ooh,
stuff we want to
promises.
Include.
I like these.
I've been delivering on promises, so fuck you, man.
Yeah,
all right. I'm taking this shit seriously. I wish we had a budget because then I would end the show with that song, Promises, Promises. But unfortunately, you have to have our regular outro. And with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.